This week, a bipartisan bill was introduced in Congress that would legalize a certain compound in marijuana for medical purposes. It was introduced just a day after the New York Times editorial board came out in favor of full legalization of marijuana. So are national attitudes toward marijuana shifting in a significant way? Ryan Nurz is the chief cannabis correspondent for Fusion, where he hosts the Canna Business Report. He's with us from WLRN in Miami. Ryan, welcome.
Thank you very much, Jeremy.
Well, how significant was it that the New York Times editorial board got behind the legalization of marijuana?
It's a big deal. I mean, you know, it's the most noted newspaper in the country and one of the most in the world, saying that after 40 years prohibition on pot, that they believe that the federal government should allow the states to continue to do what they're doing right now, which is slowly move towards legalization and not bother them and come in and lock down these dispensaries.
Well, tell us about how attitudes have been shifting. You've been covering this for some time now. How are the national attitudes shifting on marijuana?
They're shifting suddenly very fast. You know, I started really focusing on this in around 2010. And at that point, you know, I think there was around 10 to 13 medical marijuana states. And then all of a sudden, every year, you know, there's all these initiatives in states. And every year it would be all of a sudden there's, you know, there's 12, 13, 15, 16, 17. And then obviously in 2012, when Colorado and Washington legalized recreational marijuana, that is a game changer, because that sort of even put us ahead of countries like, you know, the Netherlands, which has been, you know, obviously it's sort of the paradigm for legalized or quasi-legalized marijuana. And now, you know, the perceptions have shifted. I think a big part of that is the baby boomers are sort of becoming the older generation. And obviously they have some familiarity with marijuana from the sort of hippie era of the late 60s and 70s. And all these medical marijuana patients who have real medical problems have sort of created something that older people and people who otherwise would have some sort of family values issue now see that it could have some legitimacy.
And yet there is pushback even among baby boomers. And we heard it on Meet the Press just over the weekend with David Brooks, who is at the New York Times, coming out and saying that that was not the right thing for the Times editorial board to do. Let's listen to what he said with some other guests on Meet the Press.
I disagree with them on the larger issue. I don't know what they've been smoking up there. They go up to the office, the haze is so thick, I can't see anything.
They didn't inhale.
They didn't.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Maybe they did.
I have two basic issues. One, the effects on the teenage brain really are pretty significant. They acknowledge that in the editorial. And I just don't think we can sanction, say, adults, fine, but if you're 18, you can't do it. That's just not going to work, I don't think. Second, I just don't think the government should be sanctioning activity that most of us mature out of, most of us age out of. I just don't think it's the way we want to spend our minds. But, and here's something I do agree with my colleagues on, I could be wrong.
So, Ryan Nurz, a lot to unpack there, but let's start with what we heard in the beginning of that, which was this making a joke out of it.
Right. Well, and that's the thing that, you know, I have, you know, sort of strived to do with covering marijuana is, you know, the pot jokes are always going to come. Oh, they didn't inhale. There's a ton of puns that come in. And him saying, what are they smoking? You know, there's always this ability to minimize it and to turn everyone into slacker stoners who are sort of laying out on their couch with Cheetos dust on their chest. And the fact is that, you know, that sort of slacker stoner cliche is morphing into something a lot more complex. You know, I know plenty of in New York City, producers and Wall Street bankers and attorneys who this is what they choose instead of a glass of wine or cognac at the end of the day. And I think that's just minimizing it in a way that's it's just sort of old fashioned and out of date. And, you know, it just sort of takes the debate to a low fiber level that I think is disappointing.
What about what he said about the effects on the teenage brain and the idea that this is something that many adults, as he said, mature out of?
Well, I think that's perfectly valid. I try to cover marijuana from a pretty balanced perspective. And the fact is that there's a very credible study, I think it comes out of New Zealand, that shows that relatively heavy teenage marijuana use in the years of brain development has led to a 6 to 8 point drop in IQ. And so one thing that you can say, and if there's any real Achilles heel of the sort of pro-pot movement, it's the kids. And the fact is that it's really not good for kids during the years that their brain is developing. And And I think that's something that we should always keep in the debate. And it is a little scary because there's an element of Colorado, Washington, you know, turning this into something. Well, mom and dad, you know, I see these dispensaries, they look like Starbucks, and, you know, I just pass them on the way to school, and it seems like everything's okay.
So given all of this and these concerns, and these are just some of them, there are other people who have other concerns about legalizing marijuana, how likely is it that more states will follow the example of Colorado and Washington State and legalize marijuana for recreational use? And how likely is it that the federal government will do something about it?
I think the first is very likely. As I said, from watching from 2010, this trend, it's just going up. And what happens is, you know, if you have politicians who are against marijuana on a sort of family values level and what it might do to the kids, once those tax dollars start to roll in, those moral issues tend to dissipate pretty quickly. And so I think that's what's been happening. And you see the amount of taxes that came in Colorado in the first month and the second month. And you're going to start to see those budget gaps tighten pretty quickly. And, you know, I think Republicans might start to lean a little more libertarian and say, you know, hey, government, hands off our guns, hands off our weed, and we'll take the proceeds. And also just because it's becoming more and more popular. But as for the federal government, I think that's the real final hurdle, is rescheduling the drug from a Schedule I substance, which is, you know, basically means that it has absolutely no medicinal purposes and doesn't allow a lot of places that would otherwise study marijuana to study it. And I think that's going to take quite a bit longer, 6 to 8, maybe even 10 years.
Well, and there was a bill introduced in the House of Representatives this week that would amend the Controlled Substances Act, which criminalizes marijuana, to exempt plants with very low levels of THC. That's the chemical that gets people high. What would that bill do? And is that likely to pass?
I think that's much more likely to pass. And in fact, I'm down here in Florida, in Miami, and they just enacted a CBD law. CBD is cannabidiol, is another cannabinoid in the plant like THC. THC is the psychoactive cannabinoid that gets you high. Cannabidiol doesn't get you high. So what it does is, especially for kids who have these sort of rare disorders with lots of seizures, the most popular one is Charlotte's Web. And this girl had 300 seizures per week. No prescription medicines were working. And this Charlotte's Web strain of weed dropped her from 300 to 3 seizures a week. So it's really changed her life. And I think, you know, what happens with that that's interesting is that, you know, you have a Republican congressman who's pushing that bill, and for good reasons, for those same sort of family value reasons. But what happens is that once the sort of Trojan horse is in the door, and if they do say, okay, well, we'll allow this kind of cannabis, then I think that it starts a really more vigorous debate about whether they can reschedule cannabis as a drug overall.
Ryan Nurz, chief cannabis correspondent for Fusion. He's also the author of the book Marijuana America, One Man's Quest to Understand America's Dysfunctional Relationship with Weed. Ryan Nurz, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Jeremy. Good to be here.
And let us know what you think. Are your attitudes toward marijuana changing? You can weigh in at hereandnow.org.